This week's podcast is brought to you by Focal USA. Get all your favorite sports memorabilia at focal.com. Welcome to the latest episode of Centerization Podcast. I'm here with my special guest, Chris Versteeg. Welcome.
Hey, nice to meet you.
So, quick question. What was it like playing for the Blue and White? And when you look back, what was like a couple of your most fondest memories?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I look back and think about coming from Chicago here, and you know, you talk about the history, and I've always loved playing for big markets and big teams, and coming out on hockey night in Canada, playing Montreal Canadiens for my first game, it's moments I'll never forget.
So when first coming to Toronto, there must have been like a huge culture shock. Mind you, you played in Chicago, so there's probably a very similar hockey culture and like media attention, but was there a difference when you came to Toronto from Chicago?
Well, again, like for me, I was kind of used to the intensity of the media, because in those days we were such a big team in Chicago that media scrutiny and how many cameras in the room and everything was there. So coming here wasn't much of a shock for me, like maybe a player coming from Florida. So coming here was just another experience where I thought, wow, I got to put on an Original Six jersey. I got to play in front of friends and family on Hockey Night in Canada weekly and have an experience.
Now that you're retired and you're a veteran, what would be your advice to this current team? You know, obviously they've had their struggles in the playoffs, but what would be your advice to kind of get them over that playoff hump?
Well, the biggest advice I would give them is understand, kind of, you know, you hear Matt Sundin talk about it, your moment is now. So that is one thing. But then emphasize putting your individual feelings away and understand when you're older and you retire, however you feel about becoming a part of a team is way more important than about whatever you feel individually about that day. So whether it's scoring a goal or getting a shift or getting an important minute, throw all that shit aside basically and understand one day if you put all that aside and you can focus on just winning, it'll make you feel a whole lot better when you're 40 years old, 35, 40 years old like me, sitting at home thinking about all the great memories. And if you couldn't put that ego aside, I would never be here with these memories of, you know, Hawks teams where we had to do it. So put your ego aside, especially when it comes to the playoffs. Do whatever it takes and play with passion. If you don't play with passion, you got no hope of winning a Stanley Cup.
Well, thanks so much, Chris, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Here we are with Gary Roberts, Leafs alumni, Hockey Hall of Fame, Stanley Cup winner. Welcome.
Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm not there yet.
We'll get you there. We'll punch that ticket.
That would be nice. Good. Start promoting it.
Well, you know what?
We'll get you. Hopefully that it starts on the podcast, and we'll get it promoted. We'll get you going.
All right. I like it.
So, Gary, what was it like to play with Curtis Joseph and with Matt Sundin? Because they both had like very unique characters, and they seemed to have like a calming effect in the dressing room. What was that like to play with that type of personality?
Yeah, I would say Curtis Joseph, like a fierce competitor. You heard them speak tonight. Both teammates. Some of my fondest memories in my professional career was being a Toronto Maple Leaf. Some of my favorite teammates were Curtis Joseph and Matt Sundin. So to be down here tonight and support those guys, say hello, was nice to hear old stories and just celebrate what they meant to the city of Toronto. Both unbelievable individuals, great teammates, just great ambassadors for the game. To have played with those guys for, I think, 5 years, I was a Toronto Maple Leaf. So I miss those days. I tell everybody I miss playing every day. And I definitely miss being a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Now, what would be, when you first came to Toronto, what was that feeling like to put on the blue and white? Because I know that for a lot of players, that's a huge career moment for them. So what was it like for yourself?
Yeah, similar to a hometown boy, but born in North York. Grew up in a little town in Whitby, Ontario at the time. And You know, always thought at some point if I had a chance to be a Toronto Maple Leaf in my career, it'd be really cool to do that. Obviously, one of my mentors and greatest influences in my career was Lanny McDonald. So for him to wear number 7 for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I remember the day that I signed, I was coming down from Muskoka, and I called Lanny McDonald, and I said, "Hey, pal," I said, "Rob's here." I said, "You okay if I wear number 7 for the Leafs?" And he's like, "Oh, my gosh, Rob, thank you for calling. I'd be honored if you wore number 7 for the Leafs." So that was my big reason in respect to what Lanny McDonald did for me early in my career and taught me how to act as a professional hockey player. I wore number 7 in Toronto for him. And also to be a Leaf and to be part of this city for the amount of time that I was, I don't think my career would have ended as well as it did if I hadn't been a Toronto Maple Leaf. So I'm sincerely grateful that I had that opportunity and to play with teammates like Matt Sundin and Curtis Joseph. Couldn't be better.
So I guess one final question. Hearing Madsen and Kudrow talking about some of those stories, sitting back, you must have just been like going through that those memories with them, right? Was there one memory that's kind of stood out as they were talking about some of those moments in the playoffs and so on?
Well, I think the 2002 playoff run, when it was a big playoff run for myself, and having an opportunity to really be a leader. Mats was hurt for part of it. Remember playing with Alan McCauley, Jonas Hoglund. We had an unbelievable stretch of games, finding ways to win with not necessarily the nicest goals in the world, that's for sure. But just that Carolina, that loss, obviously it hurt. I had come from Carolina a few years prior, so it hurt me even more probably. But that the playoff runs as a Toronto Maple Leaf, I had people putting signs in my front yard, you know, Roberts Rocks or whatever the sign said, in Lawrence Park. The excitement, and like I say, this is a conference final we're in. The excitement in the city was something I'll never forget. The attention to the team, the buzz in the city, just their memories that, you'll never forget. I'll never forget being a playoff run or the spring in Toronto, going deep into the playoffs. Other than winning the Stanley Cup as a Calgary Flame,
yes.
I don't think there was a better feeling in my career.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. Really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll have you on the podcast soon enough.
Thank you.
Here we are with Elliot Freeman. Elliot, welcome.
Thanks for having me again.
So you were on stage with Curtis Joseph and Matt Sundin kind of reminiscing over their time in Toronto. Was there one story that they shared that you didn't know?
You know what? I think it was really funny hearing them talk about... just about what a crazy group they had, like when Mats was the captain, and just, you know, Curtis would talk about how it was Saturday nights, they know the guys would be wired, and you'd look at Corson and you'd look at Tucker and you'd look at Domi and say, okay, what's going to happen tonight? Like, it's really clear that was a close team and they really loved playing with each other. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, as a fan, like, you know, you kind of sit in and you're hearing these stories, that, you know, even like you don't quite catch them in the news and whatever, but you did see that camaraderie on the ice. What were your favorite Matt Sundin and Curtis Joseph memories?
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, the thing I really enjoyed about both those guys is that they were both pros in the sense that they demanded more of them, as much of themselves as they demanded out of anybody else. And that was one of the things I really liked about them. Like, they wouldn't get mad at anyone else for anything that they did or didn't do themselves. And like that, so I really admired that. They were really serious guys who didn't cause any controversy, but they played hard and they practiced hard and they were demanding. Like Joseph, when we talked to him in the media, he always looked so quiet, like boring. But when the game started, he wanted to win in the worst way. Sundin, always the most reserved guy, and he barely tolerated our questions. Like, we knew when he was rolling his eyes at our questions, but all he did was care about winning. And You know, I would say that I learned to appreciate them more, sadly, after they were gone than when they were here, because I realized what an effort they put in and how much they cared.
Speaking of caring, you shared a really funny story to kind of start off the talk about how, you know, Matt Sundin got angry at one question, and it was you're with one of your coworkers. Do you want to share that story with our listeners, the Howard Berger Matt Sundin situation?
Well, what happened was Howard was a good reporter. He would get good stories. He got a story. Someone told him that the Leafs teammates thought that Sundin didn't have good wingers, and he shouldn't be playing with certain wingers. And the player was at the time was Jonas Hoglund. And Sundin flipped. Like, he pulled Howard aside and said, "Tell me where you heard it." And Howard, like, Matt's never gotten mad at anything. Like I said, he'd roll his eyes at our questions. But that was the kind of thing he got mad about. He didn't like that someone would say that this is what Matt says and go to the media with it. And I remember how Matt, like, that was when I saw the blazing eyes of Matt Sundin. Let's put it that way.
I guess, you know, for one final question, I don't know if you can share, but any Leafs trade rumors coming out of the playoffs or into the All-Star weekend or coming out of the All-Star weekend?
Like I said, I think they're looking for D. Like, if there's a D out there, they're going to try to find them.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Ellie. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Welcome. We now have Curtis Joseph on our podcast. Welcome, Curtis.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, more than welcome. So, you know, we just heard some crazy stories of your time here in Toronto. Was there one story or one memory that you have of your time here in Toronto that kind of is ingrained in your memory?
Just all the playoff series that we got to play and the Game 7s. And playoffs mean the most. Probably the two conference finals that we went to that Matt's touched on. So, those were the highlights and the joys of our youth, and it was nice to relive them tonight.
You shared this evening with Matt Sundin. What was it like to play with a player of that caliber and that temperament? Because you had mentioned in the conversation that he was always very calm, a very stoic leader. What was that like being in the dressing room with him?
Yeah, it's great because you knew that he was all business, all focused all the time, and he shouldered a lot of the offensive and the captaincy. So he shouldered a lot, and he cared a lot about his teammates. So it really came through, and you could feel that tonight when he talked about the fond memories that we had.
One final question, because you're a goalie, and we do want to know what's going on with Samsonov. We've definitely seen a huge shift in confidence, you know, even just his mechanics and goal. What has been the greatest, or what has been the biggest difference you've seen in his game since coming back and seemed to have finding his game?
Well, you know, he looks like he's moved back in the net a little bit, moving a little bit less, letting the play come to him, which is very important. And if he can turn it around like he looks like he has, which is tremendous. It's hard to do in a market like Toronto. So the fact that he's come out and showing the world that, you know, I'm going to turn this around no matter what, no matter how long it takes, it's very admirable.
We are with Matt Sundin, former captain, Hall of Famer, and all-around great guy. Matt, welcome to the Center of East Nation podcast. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good. You shared a very interesting story about your time here in Toronto and what it was like to get the captaincy. Yeah. Do you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about that story?
Well, when I was asked to become the captain for the Maple Leafs, I called my mentor, Boris Salming, and he said right away, "You have to accept the captaincy." And Boris was asked himself, and he declined. He didn't feel that he wanted any more with the media attention than he had playing as a Maple Leaf. So it was an easy decision for me. When Boris said, "You have to accept," I said, "I'm going to gladly accept to be the captain." Get my phone.
And what would be, if you look back at your career in Toronto, what would be like the highlight of that time here?
I think the two runs to the conference finals, obviously, playing playoff hockey in Toronto is the best thing you could do as a hockey player. So those are the best memories.
One final question, and I'll let you go. If you could give advice to the current Leafs team, what would it be to kind of get them over that hump?
Just keep growing as a team and learn from every year that goes by and the runs in the playoffs and try to do it today. Like, don't wait. Just keep being the best you can be every day.
Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate your time.
Cheers.